professional Get Me Out of Here, coming live from our outside broadcast studio here on Copacabana Beach, just ready for the World Cup. Is that Stanley? Oh, well. It's a nice dream while it lasted. Yes, the World Cup's on the way in Brazil and the nation is likely to drink too much and eat too much. Well, until England get knocked out. Anyway, licensing laws in England have already been relaxed to take account of late kickoffs, and this week Wales followed suit by allowing pubs to open late, provided they apply for a free temporary event notice, while being welcomed by some, including Vale of Glamorgan MB Alan Cairns, who said, "This is great news for people in Wales who want to be able to watch the games the same way as in England. Well, I will be supporting England. Maybe that some Welsh people will support anyone playing England." The College of Emergency Medicine, however, were less than chuffed with the decision, President Clifford Mann calling it an unwelcome precedent, with the effects of alcohol abuse being seen daily in the country's A&E departments. A recent study found that there was a 37.5% increase in hospital visits due to assaults on the days England played in the 2010 competition. With fans in the UK set to spend £30 million on food and a staggering £76 million on alcohol during the tournament, Warwickshire County Council has decided to issue some hints on healthy eating over the next month, including avoiding too much salt and saturated fat in those late-night snacks. During the 2010 tournament, it was estimated that during each game, the average fan would consume the equivalent of 4 cans of beer, 3 slices of pizza, half a bag of crisps and half a pot of dip. Police forces across England have also warned that motorists still feeling the after effects of the night before will be targeted in a road safety clampdown. While Brazil and England, for a while at least, is going football crazy, anyone wishing to totally avoid the festivities should head for Scotland, where the Scottish Parliament has refused to entertain any application for temporary licence extensions on the grounds that the tournament is neither of local or national interest.
We're not creative enough, and we're not positive enough.
It's coming home, it's coming home, it's coming, football's coming home.
We'll go on getting back, so I'm getting back, so I'm getting back, so I'm getting back.
It's coming, football's coming home, it's coming.
There was more pressure on Public Health Minister Jane Ellison this week to introduce plain cigarette packaging in the form of a letter to the BMJ signed by 600 prominent professionals. Miss Ellison promised regulations would appear by the end of April, but with nothing since, experts are calling on the government to get a move on before the whole process gets overtaken by next year's general election. Regulations will be subject to a consultation period and then scrutiny by the European Union, which could take up to 6 months. Department of Health have responded by saying the consultation is being finalised and will be published shortly. Ireland now looks likely to be the first EU state to introduce plain packaging after the Irish Parliament agreed to introduce regulations as soon as possible. Smoking has long been known as a major cause of premature death, but a recent study by Manchester University has also found that smokers have a 15.1% higher chance of hearing loss than non-smokers. The only problem is the researchers haven't got the faintest idea why, but it did come out of a study that followed 500,000 and UK volunteers for a period of 7 years. Oxford City Council are trying to push through a controversial ban on street traders within 100 metres of schools in the county, despite at the moment there not being any. The new rule, if adopted, will prevent street traders selling hot or cold food from operating within 100 metres of a school between 7:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Critics say that the rule should apply to the whole school route, not just a 100 metres limit. Fines for most food hygiene, housing and safety offences imposed at magistrates' courts could be increased by 400% following new legislation laid before Parliament. Under new proposals, magistrates will also be given unlimited fine powers for offences that are currently capped at £5,000. Last year, the Sentencing Council published draft guidelines on how judges and magistrates should deal with environmental offenders. The proposals attempt to match any fine with the seriousness of an offence. Magistrates who are often inexperienced in dealing with environmental offences would also be given consistent advice across the country. Council said it expected fines to increase for those causing the most damage or risk to health. Now, if you want to find out the priorities of your local health and wellbeing board, there's now a handy interactive map produced by the local government association, which will tell you just that. The map, which is housed at the LGA website, allows access to local priorities of the 130 health and wellbeing boards in England, as well as links to current health and wellbeing strategies. Anyone looking at getting their hair dyed in their team's colours for the World Cup should take a closer look at the chemicals used after a story this week revealed the presence of carcinogenic aromatic amines in many commercial hair dyes. Banned in the European Union since the early 1990s, increasing amounts of toluidine have been discovered in products tested in Turkey and the United States, while a Swedish study has found higher than average levels of the chemical in blood taken from a sample of 295 female hairdressers. Levels were found to be highest in dark yellow and black dyes. Now, gentlemen of a certain age who still feel they can imitate today's World Cup stars have received a boost from a study by the University of Copenhagen that found that men between the ages of 63 and 75 who took part in one-hour weekly football training sessions achieved marked improvements in maximum oxygen uptake, muscle function and bone mineralisation. Research leader Professor Peter Krustrup said the results provide strong evidence that football is an intense, versatile and effective form of training, including for untrained elderly men. It's definitely never too late to start playing football. Football boosts physical capacity and heart health and minimises the risk of falls and fractures in elderly men who have never played football before or have not played for decades. Well, that's it for this week. Now, before you ask, I'm not in that age bracket, but, well, a bit of practice wouldn't go that amiss, would it? I'm Stanley, come on, over here, on me head, son. Ah, Stanley, just walk away. Say nothing. That's fine. See you next week.
There's a football fella, you all know his name, and the papers tell us he's in the Hall of Fame. Wherever he goes, he'll be all the rage, 'cause he's the new sensation of the age.
Dressed in red, white and blue, he's World Cup Willie. We all love him too. World Cup Willie, he's tough as a lion and never will give up. That's why we're...
I'm a public health professional. Get me out of here is written, presented and produced by Peter Hill. All comments made are personal and do not relate to any other body. This podcast is protected by a Creative Commons licence. Any unauthorised reproduction for commercial gain is strictly prohibited.
Everybody's favourite for them.